This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 12:03 in the afternoon on a Thursday. My name is Jeff Sandhu and you're listening to Enterprise Biz Bites. With me today on the show is
Rita Liu,
Arvind Braj.
And we have been asking you since 10 o'clock in the morning, how does packaging affect your purchasing decisions? That is the topic that we're going for today, how packaging has influenced your buying behavior. So get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us, it's at BFM Radio. We also have a story that's posted on Instagram. It's also at BFM Radio. And then following that, Arvind has a story on how reversing human downgrading in a tech-driven world.
This is the voodoo doll guy that we spoke about. Yeah, it's right. Him again. Yeah.
Okay. And Frida will be talking about a deposit-free renting for, I think you could actually also do it here in Malaysia as well, right? Mm-hmm. So let's, you know, just sort of like take a moment to just look around you and just see how many packagings do you see in front of you. Like earlier on the show at 10 o'clock when we were forward selling this, I was just telling, you know, Frida, like over this past week or at least the last 2 weeks combined, I've, you know, seen maybe a mountain of packagings that has arrived at her desk, and it is a lot.
It is, right? And then so there's obviously nice packaging and all that, but and it is. I was just talking about this together with Audrey as well. I do get, you know, excited about packaging. I do get excited with nice packaging. Like you almost feel guilty about opening it, and because just the thrill of opening it. Like for me, the whole experience of buying Jo Malone cologne, right? How they just sort of packaging it in front of me, putting the little ribbon, a little bit of spray, and all that. And I'm like, wow, you know, you do get excited about packaging.
I know Arvind gets really excited when he receives his Blu-ray, not DVD, Blu-ray. When he receives his Blu-ray when Amazon does some mega sale. And you're very delicate as well with, you know, when this Blu-ray arrives, you become like a little kid all over again.
I don't want to open it.
And you don't want to open it.
I have some box sets at home that are unopened. So I'll watch the movie on Netflix or whatever, but then the box sets are just left closed because I don't want to open the packaging. I just like the way it's packaged. I like the box set. I like the box art. And I like the plastic wrapper around it because it looks new and fresh and all. And even like last week when I got the headphones, it came in like a nice black box. And I was like, I shouldn't just keep it like this because I don't want to open it. But I love packaging. I love good packaging.
I'm guilty of this too. Like whenever I receive shoes, when I buy my shoes online and I receive them, when I open the you know, the wrapper that comes in your Post Laju and your courier delivery services, and you open that up and then you see the shoe box is still intact and it's nicely kept, and I'm going like, ah, wow, you know, so we all fall for, you know, nice packaging products. It does sway our decision, and you know, it we go through so many of them every single day. If you think about it, almost everything comes in a package.
I think like with Apple products, that was probably what sort of spurred it on when you know, when he started with the whole experience, right, of getting the iPhone or your iPod at that time. But the whole idea, even just behind packaging before opening it, Steve Jobs took it to a whole new level.
He was the first unboxer, you call it
the first,
right?
Unboxer,
you know, that whole trend of unboxing videos that we see on YouTube, people have made business out of it. There is a very famous YouTuber that I follow that basically does unboxing. And I've actually bought like one of those pens, sharp pens that you can use for your unboxing because it creates like, you know, a different sentiment or a vibe to that feel when
talk about a career transition. I would like to do that. Then people would just send me things
just for you to open. If you check his YouTube channel, I'm just looking at it now. Unbox therapy. Yeah, 15 million subscribers.
There you go.
Just to watch him open other things.
Yeah,
that he doesn't own.
So it is an enormous global industry if you think about it, because everything comes in a package. I mean, driven by a century of clever design solutions, from, you know, the Tetra Pak boxes to bubble wraps in 1950s to plastic bottles in 1970s, that's just made our lives a lot more convenient. And packaging has enabled a global economy where brands can also safely transport their products across the planet very quickly. And then the e-commerce revolution has really boosted the industry even further. Just go and visit any postal office nearby and just look at the amount of boxes that is being sent for delivery, whether it's from, you know, literally any e-commerce store in the world. It is insane.
Yeah.
And Yeah. Oh no. I was just looking at the two extremes, right? Okay. Just one example is the Hive bulk foods, right? Mm-hmm. Where nothing is packaged. You bring your own container, and the whole idea, that's the direction, right? Because so much is spent on packaging, right? Yep. Which it really is oh, it's a waste, right? Mm-hmm. And then you go to Japan. Right, where everything is packaged so nicely, right? And it's like, you know, just to get to that suite, you have to open about 3-4 boxes and tissues and what have you to get there. And it's very nice, but you also can see it's a little bit excessive, right?
It's a bit too much, like way too much protection for something that's so simple.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. There was a time when I went to pick up a pair of shoes, and ethically, I shouldn't have wanted to pick up the pair of shoes because it was not an original pair of shoes, but the reason I didn't pick it up is because it was they were selling it in like those transparent plastic bags.
Right, yeah.
This was not here. It was, you know, in Vietnam. But,
okay.
You know, it came in like plastic bags. And that is the first thing that put me off. Not the actual shoe itself. Mm. I saw that they were selling shoes in like transparent plastic bags. And I'm like,
what did you expect? Yeah.
I know. But, you know, it should have been.
That's what you get, Arf, you know, for buying one things thing. Like that. You know?
You know, it is a small temptation. But it should have been the shoe that wasn't original that put me off. But it was the actual boxing, and I went like, oh, I might not get a box, so maybe I'll just leave this behind.
So packaging has really become an essential to branding and product design, and many companies, they want to offer delightful unboxing experiences with layers of papers or colourful stuffing to just stand out. Some has, like Apple, they've taken the minimalist way, just, you know, white box and then an Apple logo on top, and that's it, pretty much. That's, you know, how, and everyone went crazy about, wow, you know, that looks so classy, that looks really expensive. When if you think about it, it's probably the most cost-effective way because it's just a white box with an Apple logo on top, and it's just very clean font. It just says Apple or iWatch or, you know, iPhone and stuff like that, right? So there is also that crisis that, you know, we talked about. Maybe there's wastages in so many things are being produced and packaged, but actually there's a McKinsey report that state that it's still a fraction in terms of the damage that we're doing, right? So packaging still needs to evolve, even though there, you know, many countries around the world, even here in Malaysia, have gone with, you know, like the no plastic straws. You know, we don't do that anymore. There are some countries and some states that now even look at there's no single use plastics anymore, so you can't use single use plastic for any products whatsoever. But it's still a fraction of the cost because the fraction of damage because of the scale of the industry. Apparently, it's like a 900 billion industry, and it's like one of the third. I think it's the third largest industry if you combine all the packagings from shipping, packaging, F&B, e-commerce, all these. Combined, packaging is like the third largest industry in the world, and that, you know, it still takes time to change, but it's on track to keep evolving because, again, the e-commerce store that keeps brewing up. You see countries like in the developing countries, you know, the rising middle class has enabled more you know, people to buy things online and buy things online from different countries, and you see China is a good example. If I'm not mistaken, they have, you know, in their e-commerce side, they've gone like 80%. They do 80% more businesses in China than compared to the US when it comes to e-commerce, right? Oh, wow.
And they're just on track to be even more because at this point of time, not the entire China is, you know, digital savvy, right?
It's only plots of China that you see are driving this digital transformation. So
And I think we're not just talking about there's packaging, but the design of the package, right? So when you look at two things, apart from the wastage, you look at two things. Like if I were to go to a supermarket and there's two products, right? If one was not packaged nicely with gaudy colors and everything, right? It's just like I would choose. And I'm thinking, like, if there was not much effort put into packaging, the inside,
how,
you know,
good can your product be?
So and it probably is, but the packaging is bad, right? I will judge a book by its cover.
And also, you know, then other brands will sort of follow good packaging just because you pick that brand up. Like if you look at supermarkets and they have their homegrown brands, they will design something that looks like the other famous brand. Like there are a lot of companies who try to replicate what Milo looks like, so you have like green packaging with the white logo.
I tell you, one time I actually bought what I thought was Lingam sauce. because
but it wasn't.
It wasn't like, huh?
There you go.
But they completely.
Just because they needed the same colors and all, yeah.
Actually, you know, it's interesting, Frida, you say, you know, people actually tend to, are told not to be judge a book by its cover, but we do actually, because human beings are actually hardwired to respond to certain visual cues that elicit emotional reactions and catch attention or pique interest, inspire desire, and also prompt us to take action to purchase something. So there we go, we do. Anyways, get in touch with us. Let us know your thoughts on how purchasing has, how packaging has affected your purchasing decision. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, also on Instagram. This is The Buttertones with Matador, BFM 89.9.
Binge-friendly movies. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu,
Arvind Ibraj,
and we are asking you, how does packaging affect your purchasing decisions? We've got a couple of tweets, messages on WhatsApp. Arvind, let's go on to Insta Story.
Yeah, so this comes from Rifdi, who says, packaging that's familiar to me has a higher chance to gravitate me towards it. And then Totila Chip says, I impulse bought 2 bags of dog treats yesterday just because the packaging was beautiful.
There you go.
Yeah,
probably that's like a cute little puppy's face on that packaging of that dog food, and then you go like,
has happened to me before, yes. Not for myself, for my dog.
Oh, okay, all right. Stephen Pertz on WhatsApp says, he sent a link of a review of the Omega Speedmaster Moonwatch 50th anniversary moon landing unboxing video. That's a mouthful. And he says, just look at this. I just want to buy just for the box alone, because, you know, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's, yeah. You know, I can't imagine buying something like that that would probably cost, you know,
a lot of
the
money.
The moon
would probably cost the moon, but, you know, imagine buying something of that expensive and then you receive that whole experience of just unboxing it, right? I think me and you probably would never open it as well. We'll just,
I wouldn't open it. Yeah, I just leave it in my bookshelf or something, just to look at it, admire it every day.
Elvin Lum says, unrelated, but I love peeling the protective plastic off my new gadgets. And I think there is a special place in hell for people who don't remove those plastics, because it will actually gather dust instead of keeping it newer, making it look worse over a period of time. I personally will go out of my way to rip those protective covers off, and I'm actually just doing you a favor. So yeah, I do agree, but there is that feel. I totally get you, Elvin, that feeling of when you remove that protective film that's on like your new screen of your phone or your TV, anything that has a screen, and you remove it. Even in car, Arvind, you just bought a new car, and I'm sure in your brand new car you had that protective film that's on your entertainment console. Yeah. Have you removed it yet?
And then you savor the moment. You're like, slowly remove it.
Have you removed it yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, one film that people don't remove is the one in the fridge. Have you noticed that the stickers is just like, it's always there, the energy rating 5-star whatever. Yeah. It's on everyone's fridge. I don't know why no one takes it off.
Just to remind me.
Just to remind you that it's an eco-friendly fridge.
Eugene Sang says, I think I'm one of the rare ones that don't care about packaging, but I do agree it affects most consumers' buying behavior. First-hand experience, because I used to sell my goods and the packaging was cheap, even though the contents are good. And the packaging, according to the customers, it's a turn-off. I've since changed my packaging and now the response is really good. So there you go. It does affect your buying behavior and also your perception on the product, despite the product is just being a normal product, right? Yeah. It could be a good product, it could be a bad product. The packaging changes that perception that you have.
And it's how you pick it up as well.
It's that first, what do you, that perception, that first
impression
that you had.
You know, like driving on the NKV in the rest areas, and you've got all these locally produced food, right?
Yeah.
Really bad packaging, right? And I just don't want to try it, you know. And I do want to support local industries, but when it's so badly packaged and tacky, you know, I just don't want to go down that road.
Oh, but since you said locally packaged, we always buy these the chili flakes, the garlic chili, and that's because of how well it's bottled up. It's put into like a nice bottle, glass bottle.
We
good
even
logo.
Did an interview with someone who does Kropot Leko in Terengganu, and you know, packaged really nicely. And you know, you go like, wow, it's so good. But actually, it's, you know, it's the same things that you would buy if you go up to Terengganu by the roadside. That's just packaged in your clear see-through plastic. So yeah, there's a few things that actually, you know, sort of makes a product that stand out. So color is one, it's the most obvious way.
Right.
And then there's symbols. So, you know, if you think of McDonald's, their golden arch, so that's really popular. Apple, of course, and Starbucks, right? So, you know, these are the logos that really amplifies your brand and it gives you that familiarity. Also, you start taking photos of them because, you know, Starbucks, look at how many people actually take Starbucks cup photos.
Because they get the names wrong.
Because they get the name wrong, but... The names are written on, you know, very closely to the logo itself, and you know that's where people take photos, and you know it becomes like a marketing thing that you know it's free marketing,
it's free advertising,
right?
And then there's materials. So like going back to that moon watch, you know it's velvet boxes that you know they convey wealth and luxury, while plain boxes from recycled cardboards could suggest that the company is eco-friendly. And then there's shape. So shape could also be used for branding purposes. It's a think of like Fiji water. They're a square boxed, you know, bottle water instead of the usual ones that are round. Right. And initially, they were meant to fit more in shipping cartons to ship around the world. But then they realized, hang on a minute, this is actually pretty interesting because people actually now taking notice of us when you're in a shelf of maybe say 20 different brands.
All round.
They're all round. And then here you go, you've got a Fiji bottle water which is square. And then it just stands out. So it works, right? So we actually spoke to Nigel Sace Phillips from Bonzi Design and asked, you know, Nigel, how much does packaging affect a consumer's purchasing decision?
At the end of the day, the packaging on the shelf largely determines the purchase by a very, very large percentage of the population. So there's some old statistics out there saying something like, you know, 70% odd of people when they go into a store don't necessarily have a specific list of what they want to buy. When they get in front of the shelf, about 70-odd% still, the buying decision is still sort of unplanned. So what you want is you want to ensure that the pack that sits on the shelf is attractive to the consumer and stands out to the consumer from those other packs that are out there.
So what does an entrepreneur have to consider when deciding on how to package their product?
So you've got to start off as an entrepreneur figuring out what is different about this product, what is unique about this product, what is this product really about, in order that you can then brief a company or a packaging company to design the packaging for it. So if this, you've got to get that first stage right and understand what the product is, and you've got to understand who the consumer is, and you've got to understand ideally what the customer journey is from awareness through to purchase. That determines the packaging.
And what's the best way for a business owner to ensure that their product packaging stands out?
Simplify and amplify. Most packs are, over time, generate more and more and more stuff on them. And there's more and more stuff that comes out. So if you can make your pack simple, so it's nice and you can so say less and say it louder, is the best way to actually distinguish yourself. So if you simplify it and amplify it rather than put more and more and more stuff on, which by definition muffles it, you actually will succeed more effectively, I think.
And Nigel, what's the biggest trend that you've seen in terms of packaging today?
There is absolutely no question whatsoever that the eco-friendly, recyclable environment is there and is growing fast and is a trend that's not going to be reversed. So everybody from the big boys to the small boys have got to figure out how can they produce packaging that responds to that consumer demand. Because if your consumer wants something to be environmentally friendly and you don't offer it to them, they're not going to buy it. They're going to buy something else. And there's no question whatsoever that more and more consumers see that as an important part of the conversation when they're looking at a brand.
That was Nigel Sace Phillips from Bonzi Design. And it's true, like how many of us actually think of product or the package being like the brand spokesperson, right? Because that's what it is. You know, when you sit on the shelf, that is like the first thing to your product. It's the packaging itself. So amplify but simplify, the less is more. In this case, it really is, because the minimalist way of packaging has really taken off.
Yeah, especially if it's simple and to the point. Like you mentioned about Apple's boxes before. I mean, it is white and it has like less design. It has like one Apple logo. But I think that's what made them sort of like iconic. They made sure that they didn't like, you know, overcrowd their designs with too many things or too much information.
And I like that analogy. You're the spokesperson, right? That's the first thing I see that. You know, if everybody thinks like that about their products and all that, this is the spokesperson, this is the first impression. I mean, it really makes a difference.
Yeah. So, packaging acts as a brand spokesperson, an advertisement, and a container all in one. And first impression counts. And consumers walking among store shelves form an impression of products based on approximately 7 seconds of information. So, how do you capture that attention? And that works, right? And also, we've got a message from Ms. Go says, to me, good packaging is not about how pretty it looks, but how practical it is. Protection for the goods, the ease to unbox, the extended usage of the package, if any, is the experience that matters, which actually leads to there is a balance that you need to find. It needs to be beautiful, functional, and also economical. So a beautiful package that's difficult to open or very expensive to produce is equally ineffective as an ugly package that's both highly functional and very inexpensive. So all three aspects of packaging must work together to form that, you know, experience itself. So let us know your thoughts on how packaging has affected your purchasing behavior. Have you gone to a store thinking of buying product A, but then you left with product B,
because
C,
the box
and
was nicer.
D, because the boxes were nicer, right? Not because of the price, because the boxes were nicer. Let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio on Instagram or Instagram and Twitter. This is Chuck Berry with Promised Land, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.